And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi. You know I wave every time I do that.
Really? No, that's new to me. But now I'll start picturing it whenever I hear that.
Every time I do it, I always wave, like someone can actually see me. This is a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Ahsoka Tano is assigned to teach a class at the Leadership Academy on Mandalore. Soon after she arrives, Duchess Satine's zealous nephew, Corky Cries, and his classmates uncover a nefarious plot. There will be youths everywhere, evil corruption again, and we'll finally get Ahsoka playing a relatively good role. We're talking about the Academy this week. How you doing, Chris?
Good.
I'm doing good too. I booked my room for 221 VCon today, and I'm waiting to hear back what panels I got. So
now, when is that? That's not for a while though, is it?
April. So about 2 months.
Oh, April. Okay. That's still pretty close.
Yeah, and one of the panels I applied to was Women in Sci-Fi, and like they were going to talk about like women in Star Wars and stuff, and I was like, I must do this. I do this every week.
Right.
So I really hope I get that one, and I applied for the How to Podcast panel, and I also, what was the third one I did? There was another panel I applied for, but I forgot. So I guess I wasn't really that interested in it. No, I am. I'm super excited. 221 becomes my favorite convention of the year, and it's like 85% women. So like there was 1 year, like 2 years ago, there were so many women and not enough bathrooms. They converted like 3 men's bathrooms into a female bathrooms only, just so we would have extra bathrooms.
And that's amazing. Like,
yeah, and it's like super LGBT friendly. A lot of the people who attend are transgendered. Like it's a very open, warm, and welcoming convention, and it's not just Sherlock Holmes. They kind of follow what trends are going on. So like when The Hobbit was still running, they had a panel on The Hobbit since both Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman was in it.
Okay.
They have a Doctor Who panel every year. Super Who Lock is a big thing with the Sherlock fandom. So they have like Supernatural panels. So it's kind of like a fandom convention. I would say about 80% of it is all forms of Sherlock Holmes, from the original series to Granada, to the Russian silent movies. They've had panels on the Russian silent movies.
Well, I was going to say, there's so much, Holmes and Watson stuff.
There's one panel I've wanted to go to for years, and it's called From House to Psych, and they cover, like, all forms of Sherlock Holmes in the media, like, from, like, well, House to Psych. But every year, I've always had to miss it. In 2 years, I've had panels scheduled during that one, and I've never been, and I want to go to House to Psych so bad. I want to go. So I really hope this year, like, I don't have a panel during that one, because I am, like, I want to go. like last year, like, when I saw that the How to Podcast panel was during From House to Psych, I was just, I went up to the director, who I'm very good friends with all the directors, because I've known them for several years now. And I was just like, you did this to me. And they're like, what do we do to you? And I was like, my panel. And they're like, oh, it's during From House to Psych, isn't it? And I was like, yes! And they're like, we're sorry!
They're plotting against you, Hope.
Apparently, Heather and Kath and all of them and Liz, and they don't want me to go to that panel for some reason. Yeah, probably like the world will end if the moment I walk through the doors. But I'm very excited. 221 becomes my favorite convention, and it's so much fun. So I'm excited.
But I'm not going to any conventions so far this year.
Hey, you got to go to New York and saw your band.
To what?
You went to New York and saw your band.
Yeah, no, but that's not a convention.
That's still something.
I guess.
Fine, be that way. We don't need to start a war like we did the other week. Whoa, Honeywell.
Yeah, that's you got to right. Watch out. I'm on a hair trigger. I could go off at any time, man.
Hey, I still got you beat on Twitter. So we're going to do things a little differently today, just a little bit, because usually we record so far in advance, but I have two bits of Star Wars The Clone Wars news, and I was looking at how these episodes would fall, and this episode would actually come out before either bits of this news would occur. So I was like, cool, like, for once, we're going to have Clone Wars news.
And timely news.
I know. And the first one's kind of sad, and I hope it changes. But first bit of news is Clone Wars is coming off of Netflix on March 7th, while the Clone Wars movies will still be on Netflix. But comicbooknews.com reported, it's not time to panic just yet, though. Netflix often puts the end of a contract date up as available until date, and even while the new contract is set up to start at the same day. Also, the film that kicked off Star Wars The Clone Wars has no end date listed on the mobile or main site, and it would seem odd for that the movie, technically the first three episodes of the series before George Lucas decided to break it off, to stick around while the series went away. Finally, as noted above, the sixth season of the series, while available on Blu-ray, debuted on Netflix. It was a near unprecedented thing at the time for a series to see work that was originally completed for another network to show up on a streaming service that way. That means Disney, Lucasfilms, and Netflix have a great relationship, and that's accepting the fact that Disney also has a broader distribution deal with Netflix, and that Marvel works with Netflix on a regular content basis. So there is a chance that Clone Wars might not come off during March 7th. Those were all really good reasons why.
They're just negotiating a new contract right now?
And that could be the thing. They could just be renegotiating the end date. This could have been an end date that was set, like, back in, what, like, 2014?
When they put it up.
Yeah, so it could have just been a random, before, like, Disney had all the Marvel shows on there and Pixar movies and stuff. This was before all that. So this could be not really news in the end. Like, they might actually get it worked out. So,
or it might, or if it, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of people doing watch alongs with us, and it seems like there's, since Rebels came out, there's been a little resurgence in interest in Clone Wars.
Yeah. So,
I mean, if Netflix doesn't carry it, I wonder if they could just, like, you know, Amazon Prime would pick it up or something like that till next time, you know. It seems like somebody would pick it up because it seems like it would be a pretty good moneymaker.
Yeah. I mean, I it would just be really strange for me for Netflix to do away with at least season 6, because outside the Blu-ray, like, other streaming services, like, you can, I know you can buy the seasons through Amazon and stream through Amazon Prime, but Netflix had it first, and I think that's kind of like, now that Star Wars has a big resurgence going on, that seems like something they really want to, like, slam their flag into. Like, season 6 is ours.
They're bringing back characters from it and stuff, so it would seem they would want to have it around, you know?
Yeah, and I haven't seen anything going against it, though, so then that is going to change, so we actually don't know. And then the second bit of Clone Wars news that I got, I'm going to open it up right now so I can even read you the thing and look at the picture over it.
This is titled Hope Starts Singing Another Song Now.
Yeah, this is really cool. So, okay, so I gave the Darth Maul comic crap a few episodes back, and I have read the first issue of the Darth Maul comic, and it's okay. It's pretty much what I thought it was going to be. It's okay. It's not my favorite, but it's certainly not the worst. I would say probably the worst was the Lando comics. Lando was a huge wasted opportunity in my eyes. But Darth Maul, number one, was okay. Now, something else got me super excited for the Darth Maul comic. And so you guys know I work in a comic store, so we get our monthly previews. And the way previews works, we get them about 3 to 4 months in advance. And that way we can, like, give them to our customers and make comic book orders. So when I was opening up the previews and making my new customer checklist and everything, I flipped to the Star Wars section of the Marvel previews, and I noticed something for Darth Maul number 3, and it has the cover on it, and there's Darth Maul, and there's two other guys, but in the background, I see Aura Singh. Aura Singh, and I was like, whoa, look at Aura Singh! And so I was like, oh man, that's so cool. And then there's someone in the back, like, behind both her and Maul. And I was looking at this character, I was like, he looks so familiar. And then I read the description of Darth Maul number 3, which is, an evil crime syndicate is auctioning off a Jedi Padawan. that Darth Maul plans to take and kill for his own, featuring a band of bounty hunters, including Aura Sing and Cad Bane. This is a cat.
He could use his own comic, for Christ's sake.
I know. And he looks so cool. His design is so cool. Like, he literally looks like he just walked out of the steampunk west. He's more bulky. Because you know how he's kind of lanky in the show?
Yeah.
He's really bulky. He kind of looks, like, much broader, more humanist, like, humanistic, which would give me hope that they wouldn't need some, like, gangly-langly thing if they ever brought him into the live action. Like, he looks like person in proportions, and he looks so cool. Like, he's dark and shadowed, and his eyes are red, and he actually looks more gray than like his traditional like bright blue. So this is like a really cool thing to have Cad Bane in the comics. I mean, I'm pretty sure this is his first comic book appearance, because when I was looking it up on Comic Vine, and the only other thing they had is there was an early reader book released by Dark Horse for the episode Holocron Heist, but it was like a Cinema Story early reader book.
Yeah, I know, I know exactly what I have a couple of those. I'm gonna have to find that one, but I have a couple of those. They aren't really comic books. They're like photo novels. They have
stories.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just thought that was so cool. And so, pick up Darth Maul number 3. It's going to be out in April, because it looks to be the first comic book appearance of Cad Bane.
Yeah.
And it looks fucking bitchin'. It looks fucking badass.
Good. We're getting some comic news that pertains to us.
I know. I'm really excited. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. And this is, like, pre-Clone Wars era, too. This is, like, pre-Episode 1 era. So, yeah. Because Darth Maul's all like, I'm just an apprentice, and I'm angry. And then Papa Palpatine won't let me go play with the other Jedi children and behead them. That was issue 1 of Darth Maul. In a nutshell.
I'm way behind on my Star Wars comics.
Oh, me too. I'm probably about 6 issues behind on the regular one. I haven't read the last issue of Darth Vader, which means I haven't read any of Dr. Aphra. So, I actually hadn't read Darth Maul until I saw that Cad Bane was going to be in it, and then I was like, I must read this!
Now, yeah.
Now it's my time to read. So, yeah, I did. So, so that's the news. News.
So rare. That's our first news report of new news for Clone Wars, anyway.
Well, usually we're like 6 or 7 episodes ahead, but like right now we're only 2 episodes ahead, which is why we're doing 2 tonight. So let's get to it then.
All right.
The Academy. Here we go. The Academy is the 50th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, so happy number 50.
Yay.
And it aired on October 15, 2010. It was written by Cameron Litvak and directed by Juan Carlo Volpe. Some little bits of extra information for you. The Mandalorian prison guards have a crest upon their shoulder that reads, In Defense of Mandalore. It is written in the Mandalorian typeface developed for the Slave One display screens in Star Wars Episode II Attack of the Clones. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni said, With the episode The Academy, one thing I think is interesting is we have a whole group of kids working together to solve a problem. I always refer to it as the Harry Potter episode, where we have these incredibly large characters like Satine, but to solve corruption on Mandalore, it comes from an unlikely place, which is these students. They're led by Ahsoka, which is kind of an important thing, because she helps guide them. This is what we've seen Anakin and Obi-Wan do in the past, and it's kind of a handing off this concept to Ahsoka. Satine's in a very bad way. She's running out of fans on Mandalore. Let's do a count here. First, we have Tal Merrick, Satine's loyal aide, who's not so loyal. Tries to kidnap her and kill her. Governor Vizsla, not so loyal, tried to kill her more than once. Now we have Almec, Prime Minister, tries to electrify her. We're seeing that despite her attempts to make a neutral pacifistic society, it's having a very hard time holding. In a way, Satine has a lot of similarities to what it's like to be a Jedi fighting for her cause. Though she is doing it through pacifistic means, you can see Satine try not to make the same mistakes as the Jedi, which the Jedi are frankly making in fighting this all-out war. When you get into those politics, you start to see how the galaxy is fractured. you start to see how someone like Palpatine can use corruption to his advantage, and in the end, take over the galaxy. It's kind of interesting because, like, I think we talked about that when Obi-Wan was there, about how, like, Satine and Obi-Wan were kind of similar in their views back during the Love Boat of Doom episodes. So, yeah, I mean, they are kind of similar.
I'm surprised that they don't use Obi-Wan and Satine together more. This is another Anakin bows out episode, you know.
You know,
Hey, here I am. Okay, go off and I'm doing something else, you know, which probably is going to turn up in another episode, but this is an odd season.
This is like a mishmash season of, like, these are the odds and ends before they really start driving towards the series finale. This is kind of like the weird mishmash season of everything. I don't think I put it in my notes, but I did have a moment where I wondered if this episode would have been different if Obi-Wan was there. But I actually kind of, like, I talked about it more in the episode for next week, about how these were kind of the steps to get Ahsoka into next week and into the leader of the season. But, like, I think with Obi-Wan and all the trouble he caused last time he was on Mandalore, I can kind of understand why they didn't use him. And Ahsoka's barely been in the season, so I'm kind of glad they used her too. But it would have been also a different thing. Like, Obi-Wan would have been more like, oh god, I must save my girlfriend, but not my girlfriend.
Yeah, I was like, oh geez. Back to school. Out of politics into school. Hey.
all the youths. Ugh. So many youths. All the kids. I don't even think I named any of them but like one.
All the little punks.
Little shavers.
Yeah.
Do you know who likes to punk little shavers?
I was wondering if you were going to connect those two dots. Yes, I do.
Do you know who also likes youthful women?
Let me clear my throat. Yes, I do.
Youthful women. Hi, Yoda.
The right to remain silent you have.
Easy there, village people, Yoda.
Officer Yoda.
The officer, the Jedi, the fireman.
Sergeant Yoda.
The village people of Yoda.
To stay at the YMCA is nice.
Okay.
You having a good week, Yoda?
Frisked a few perps, Yoda has.
I thought you said frisked a few pervs.
Maybe.
Perps too.
Maybe.
Ugh. All right, do your thing. Do your attitude.
Those who enforce the law must obey the law. In bed.
Oh, that's a little too 50 Shades of Grey for me right there.
Yeah, that's, it's got a little bit of, the Island of Dr. Moreau in it, too. What is the law? Man shall walk on two legs. Anyway.
All right, so, well, Act 1?
Let's do Act 1.
Act 1! All right. After repeating the episode title from last week a million times, there's still corruption going down on Mandalore. Supplies are getting short, so people have to rely on the black market to get basic needs for things like food and Sprite bottles from last week. Satine asked her gal pal TM Padme Amidala to request the Jedi Council to send someone to help her investigate. Anakin is flying Ahsoka to her mission to Mandalore, and Rex is tagging along. Ahsoka is like, "Oh, I'm so overqualified for this. Master, why? What did I ever do to you?" And Anakin's like, "You gotta do your job, Squirt. Teach some kids about how bad corruption is, and Rex and me will pick you up after school like the dads we are." While watching the Jedi ship land, the head of the Legend of the Hidden Temples leader, Prime Minister Almec, is like, "I'm shady, and I don't want a Jedi to find out about my corruption. I mean, teach our children!" And Satine is like, "Dude, chill out." Anakin introduces Ahsoka, but apologizes because he has to go on a date with Rex, return to battle. Almec is like, "Awesome! Padawans aren't real Jedi. I'm good now." He calls over Cadet Corky, Satine's nephew, and two other little shavers named Almus and Lagos, but I'm not going to name them for the rest of this, so it doesn't matter. Omek says, also says that Ahsoka can't carry her lightsaber on Mandalore because of the trouble Obi-Wan caused last time he was there. Anakin and Ahsoka are like, Obi-Wan caused trouble? Tell us more of these stories! And she gives her Anakin, she gives Anakin her lightsaber, and Rex calls Anakin away for their night out. Ahsoka is teaching the children of Mandalore the meaning of corruption. The kids ask pretty good questions about things like, if they don't believe in their leader, isn't that treason? Ahsoka says it's the duty of citizens to challenge their leaders. In the hangout room, Corky and friends start thinking about the situation on Mandalore. It's pretty fishy to them that so many food transport ships come to the planet, but there's still strict rations and food shortages in the school. Corky and friends decide to act like youths and check out the warehouse district for themselves. Corky's friend Sunny shows off her tech powers. I totally misspelled tech there. Tech powers and hacks into the warehouse doors to sneak everyone inside. Once inside, they see unmarked Mandalorian police and a hooded figure chatting with some goatmen about making a deal. Sunny takes an image of her on her hologram cell phone of the incident. Corky's dude buddy chickens out, but accidentally knocks Sunny's laptop off the hiding spot and right into the middle of the bad guys. The kids flee while the police give chase, but the kids are able to get away. Youths!
I love how they spell Corky and Sunny.
Here's my thing. They don't need all four kids. You only need two. You need Corky and Sunny, and they could have done the entire episode.
Yeah, yeah. I just love their names, though. Corky and Sunny. The kids are kind of generic in this.
They're
generic Clone Wars kids. They're like all the kids so far we've seen in Clone Wars.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if they didn't have the other dude buddy and the other girl, Sunny could have got all her lines. Dude buddy could have been, like, not there at all. And then, like, Corky and Sunny, they could have done something cool out there with that extra time and animation and maybe made them, like, boyfriend and girlfriend or, like, just best friends or maybe, like so that there are too many kids.
Right, right.
Too many youths. I don't even care about all their names. It's Corky, Sunny, and the kids.
This is, like, the Goatman trilogy.
I know, I was just thinking that. We've had a lot of Goatmen.
This is the third Goatman in a row. the Hidden now, Clone Wars Goatman trilogy.
Now it's like when you see a Hidden Goatman in Clone Wars, just like take a drink.
I had a thought during this that, like, since everybody says, I have a bad feeling about this sometime in Star Wars, that maybe it's like one of the, like we saw, and this is where the holiday special becomes important. Maybe on Star Wars Space TV, there's a sitcom or something, and that's the catchphrase, you know, like, no soup for you. You know, it's, I've got a bad feeling about this. And then the audience goes, ha 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 ha, and then claps.
That's how you doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Bazinga.
Oh, yeah, I wonder if it's like in just, that's why everybody says it, because it's just kind of in parlance.
They're basically quoting
the space fans whenever they say it.
I'm going to throw a deeper thing at your way. Because the Jedi always tell us that the Force runs through everything, right? And while not everybody is Force sensitive, there is at least the Force in everybody. What if that is the Force telling people that this is a bad situation, beware? Since technically the Force runs through everything,
trying to warn them. That's the parlance of the Force. That's like the Force is like, danger's coming, and pushes button number 3, which goes, I have a bad feeling about this, which goes into somebody's head, and they go, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, and it's pretty much just going, danger, Will Robinson,
maybe
danger.
Maybe the Force watches Space TV too.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that's it. It's just the Force trying to warn people, and it just comes out in every episode. I have a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, this is a weird episode, and I'll probably get into it a little about the next episode. This season's strange. They're not doing, and maybe it's just because we're just starting out. They're being really political. They're not doing the, like, crazed experimentation they did last season, you know, of like, hey, let's do a Godzilla movie. Let's do, you know, a Akira Kurosawa movie. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's this has been pretty straight up self-contained Clone Wars sort of drama so far.
Yeah, I mean, we're 6 episodes in, and if you take out the Clone Cadets and the ARC Trooper episode, it's all been politics.
Yeah.
From the get-go.
Yeah.
And minus those 2 episodes, and we still kind of have that a little bit next week, not so much. But there You know, season one was like the intro. Season two was Rise of the Bounty Hunters. You could definitely call this like the politics episode, because looking ahead, you have at least one, you have at least two episodes of politics more. And then you get into these like weird arcs. You have a really cool three-parter with Asajj. You have the Mortis trilogy. Then you have the Citadel. And then you have the season finale two-parter. So, like, the first half is nothing but politics, and, like, the second half is, like, little mini-movies, which is kind of what they do for season four. Uh-huh. Like, it's... I would that's probably the experimental part, I would say. Because season four on, with the occasional, like, episode here and there, they're 3 to 4 episode little mini-arcs. They're not standalone episodes anymore, except for, like, the occasional one. And that starts about halfway through the season. You get the three Night Sisters uh-huh. arc, the three Overlords arc, the three Citadel arc, and then you get the two Padawan arcs.
Yeah, they're like and, little short movies.
And so, yeah, so I would say that that's probably the experimental half, but this first half of the season is just them going, forgot this storyline. Let's put this in here. It's like Dave Filoni was just like, I really wanted to tell a story about how Cad Bane got C-3PO, and it should have fit into season one, but I guess we'll put it here now. We'll see if it works. Fine, it'll be fine. So, yeah, this is a weird season.
That was really all my notes for the first part. There wasn't really much to note of note about it, really. Not,
yeah.
I don't want that to sound like it's bad, but it was just a pretty straight-up setup.
Yeah. I only had a couple notes for this one as well. How sheltered are these children?
I know.
Like, Ahsoka is literally, like, opening a dictionary and reading them the definition of corruption. And they have, like, it's like the surprise concept to them. They're like, what? People can take money and greed over what's right?
Later
yes.
She tells them about Space Santa.
I know. And the thing is, like, we know that these children aren't dumb. Sonny fucking breaks into a warehouse with hacking skills.
Yeah.
So these kids are not stupid. So it makes me wonder how sheltered they're keeping these children. And, like, kind of, I wonder if that plays into the politics of Mandalore. Like, they want to be a neutral... You know, actually, here's a little history lesson for you. After World War II, there was a lot of fear in Germany about, like, teaching certain parts of their history, because they were scared. They knew the importance of teaching history, but they were afraid of, like, you know, like, if we teach our children.
Anybody any ideas?
Yeah, they didn't want to teach children about Nazism because they were scared that it would give them ideas. And that's kind of how it feels like here, and we have compared Mandalore to Germany uh-huh. before. And so maybe, like, that's it. Like, they have such a battered, like, warring past that maybe they're trying to shelter these kids and teach them neutral ways, and they're trying to, like, hide them too much from, like, the bad things of the world. And so maybe that's what it is, but it just makes the kids really stupid.
Yeah, very bland and just sort of, and yeah.
There is no ethnicities on Mandalore. Like, you look, there's no black people here.
No, that's for sure. Mandalore's got a very, very light color scheme in general. Everything is just sort of that gray blue.
I mean, even in Scandinavians, like, not everyone's blonde. You
right.
have some, like, black-haired kids there and some dark-colored skin there from, like, stuff. Anyway, something I've asked, we try not to talk too much politics on this show because we'd rather focus on the politics of Star Wars. So I just want to point out that it felt very current to our world right now that when Ahsoka's talking about how its citizens' duty is to challenge their leaders... it just felt very current to some of the things going on in our world right now.
Well,
and
I think they baked a lot of that into the series, you know, in a sort of universal way, since this series was made, you know, almost a decade ago. Or this is about 10 years old, huh? But yeah, they definitely put
2010, so this was like even just like the year before 9/11.
Right. And I mean, when, 11 was 2001. You're getting...
Oh, my gosh. I'm way off there.
I'm so sorry. I was going to say...
Sorry.
Because that's how we met you, Hope, over a pointed, you know, question about how Clone Wars, you know, sort of related to something that was going on in the world of international politics at the time. But, yeah, that's... I mean, since they're dealing with the topic of war and politics... Yeah, they got a lot baked into this that's, you know, in general terms is gonna, you know, be able to be related into the real world.
Yeah, I mean, like, even, I noticed it even more, like, when, next week when we talk about Assassin, I definitely noticed it then. There were, a lot of, like, crazy things that I was watching this episode with Padme, and things that happened in our own Senate happened, like, literally last night. And I was just like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, Dave Filoni can see the future.
Well, he can see the past. The past and the future, you know, I mean, Senates do things.
Yeah, we learn from history for a reason. Yeah. So I can't believe I just said, like, 9/11 was in 2011. I had a moment because I was like, wait.
It's okay. The sad thing is I had to think about that for a second, go like, hey.
I know. As I was saying it, I was like, wait, I was in middle school when 9/11 happened, but I was in college when Clone Wars happened. I just missaid something, and I can't figure out what I just missaid. Something happened along that retreat.
You know, decade here, decade there.
They both ended in wine. I was close enough. My last note for Act 1 was, I just want to see more of the planet Mandalore. It seems like it's a really big planet, but in Clone Wars, we only have really seen the capital city. So I don't is the outside of the world, like, completely barren, and that's why they have to, rely on food coming in? Or, like, do they have areas where they could, like, you know, grow some crops?
Right.
Or, like, get some water? Or something. Like, I mean, is it like Tatooine where everything's a freaking dust bowl for the entire planet? I mean, I'm sure even Tatooine has ice caps somewhere that they could, like, mine water from. So, unless the entire planet's just really fucking hot, which could be possible too. It could just be really hot. So, I don't know. I just want to see more Mandalore because, for one, I just think it'd be really cool. And I know we're going to get to see it in Rebels because in the trailer, season 3 trailer, they went to a snowy part with trees. So obviously something grows. So I just want to see it. I want to see more Mandalore. So, all right. That's all I had for Act 1. You?
That's it for me.
All right. Act 2. I lost my spot. Here we go. Corky and friends go to Satine's office the next day and tell her what's up. Satine is like, all right, kids, chill. You're going to have to let the adults handle this one. Go back to your boring school. And I'll get the bad guys. And the kids are like, we're supposed to be Harry Potter, Ron, Hermione, and Jenny Weasley. We got this. And Satine gives them the I'm the adult protecting you talk and sends the Harry Potter gang on their way. The youths are all like, well, that was a failure. What should we do now? And then they have the worst possible idea ever. They call up Prime Minister Almec. And he's like, oh no, it sounds terrible. Here's what you're going to do. Bring me all your evidence, your witnesses, and take them to the most shadiest corner of all of Mandalore in the middle of the night where nothing terrible will happen to you. Nope, not at all.
Not suspicious at all.
Not suspicious at all. In class, Ahsoka is like, you kids aren't right today. What's up with you guys? And Corky is like, we committed a crime! To find a crime, just like you taught us, Teacher Tano! And Ahsoka is like, whoa, I never taught you to act like Anakin. Only me and Rex can act like Anakin. Besides, this sounds super shady. I don't think you should go act on this right away. You shouldn't go tonight. And Corky is like, don't tell me what to do! And they leave class. And Ahsoka is like, ugh, youths everywhere. That's a reference from the show New Girl, by the way. Anyway, that night, Corky and friends go to the night meeting, and the guards are like, so, we're here to arrest you. And the kids are like, what? Wait for it. That's corruption. And the guards are like, yeah, we know. The kids don't stand a chance against the guards. But then, everyone's favorite fighting Togruta comes crashing in! I messed that up. Ahsoka kicks the crap out of the guards and rescues the kids. And Ahsoka is like, you got set up by the Prime Minister. And the kids are like, no, he's our leader, so he has to be a good guy. And Ahsoka's like, Jesus fucking Christ, kids, just give me the hologram. She uses her own Jedi tech to reveal the figure in the picture to be Prime Minister Almec. And the kids are like, oh, wow, you're right. And Ahsoka wants to punch him on the throat. Corky realizes that Almec knows that the kids talked to Satine and that she's in danger. They get to her apartment and find the guards have been killed. Satine is gone. The kids start panicking and freaking out, man. And Ahsoka is like, listen here, you little shavers. Calm the fiddle faddle down. I'm not swearing because you are youths. And I have a plan. We're going to go talk to Almec. And the kids are like, what? And Ahsoka's like, trust me. I'm a future leader of the rebellion against an empire that's not here yet. I got this. Ugh. I need to not yell so much because we're going to do an episode after this. My throat hurts already.
My note is, my only note on this is I want to call this episode Clone Wars CSI Mandalore Cadet Brigade.
So Clone Wars, so CW, CSI, CW, CSI, MCC.
CB.
CB! Brigade does start with a B.
This is why you don't, keep kids super protected so they don't fall for the easiest trick in the book.
Oh my god.
Granted, they've learned it now. They've learned how to be careful, hopefully. But yeah. As soon as he's like, oh yes, and bring the evidence too, that's where you're like, you know, yeah, Ray Charles could see that.
Yeah, I mean, these kids aren't very bright. And what's kind of interesting is they're probably about the same age as Ahsoka, and Ahsoka is definitely way smarter than them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, granted, Ahsoka probably has way more life experience than they do, because
Ahsoka's
being
killed
a Jedi,
people.
Yeah, like, Ahsoka has done a lot of things in her life, so she probably definitely has a ton of more life experience than they are, but, I mean, they're still technically kind of about the same age. She might be, like,
she's,
a couple
she's
years
She's already
older.
Got space PTSD and killed people by now, you know, so...
Yeah, I mean, she's probably about, like, a year or two older than them, but they're pretty close in age. Huh.
But they're Mandalorians. You would think that they would be, like, Klingons and killing their own meat, like, at age 5, you know?
Yeah, maybe they've, like... Because thinking about Satine, Sabine, the other one from Rebels. Thinking about Sabine, she grew up in the time that the Empire was in control. And so she clearly she was a cadet as well. They're all cadets and she was a cadet. But they're drastically different, obviously. Because one's under the pacifist rule of Mandalore and the other one was being ruled by the Empire. I bet it is just something that, like, they're trying to shelter the children and make them, like, all kumbaya lovingness, while Sabine was definitely raised with, like, a military background.
Right.
So I guess that's probably the difference, but this is clearly, Corky and his friends could have really, really been in a lot of shit trouble and disappeared forever, and nobody would have known what happened if Ahsoka wasn't there to stop them.
Yeah, they would have been on space news as terrorists and executed or something like that.
Yeah, along with Satine. So, I mean, like, right. it was a good thing that Ahsoka was here, but at the same time, I was like, this is why you teach your children, maybe not all at once, but it is important to teach them the darker sides of history so it doesn't repeat itself and they're not stupid. So my notes are, I'm sure it would take more animating and voice actors, but when Corky is telling Ahsoka about finding the black market deal, the students in the background look so bored.
Yes, yes, I noticed that too. They're just sort of, yeah. They got bored of animating them and just sort of left them just like,
Yeah, they all look like they have lobotomies.
Yes.
Like, they have zero fucks to give. And if these were real teenagers, they'd be like, oh, man, you broke into a warehouse? That's awesome.
They would be bouncing off the walls, yeah.
And then they would tell their friends, and their friends would tell their friends, and by noon time, everybody in the school would know. That's how teenagers work. They talk too much. Youths.
That's how everybody works.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, like, in a class.
Oh, yeah, it's up to 11 in high school, or any kind of school, actually.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, a classroom full of teenagers that are not excited that, like, other teenagers broke the rules, that's, I don't want to call it lazy, but, like,
no,
that was them forcing their storytelling.
Even at the very least, it's something wildly different than usually what takes place in class, and that's always a big deal in school when you're that age, you know? That always gets you excited. So, yeah, I think it was just, like, time and animation budget that did that.
I would say if they were going to do something like that, like, have the bell ring and then have Ahsoka stop Corky and the kid so it's just the five of them. in one room. Because, like, that just seemed very lazy on the, like, on the writer's parts. Or they just didn't want to open up that part of the story with kids now talking about corruption around the school. That just makes, again, the children look really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
That makes the kids look dumb.
Kids are dumb.
No, they're not.
They're smart, but they're dumb at the same time. That's the thing. They're little geniuses, but at the same time, they're little morons.
Children are little geniuses. The moment they get hormones and hit teenagerhood, there's like too many hormones in their head to think straight.
They're still geniuses because they're geniuses at getting themselves into positions where they can act on their hormones.
Yeah.
they're just not geniuses about anything else because all their genius juice has been focused into one goal.
Yeah. So. That was so annoying to me. And the other point I have 2 points because now I'm seeing that these are... Oh, to add to our kids' note, because I forgot I added this. The kids in this episode are so flaky. One moment they're super resourceful, and then the next moment they're dumb as bricks.
As the plot requires.
Yes. And the other one is I've missed Ahsoka a lot this season. We got her in the Rio Chuchi episode, which was actually a really good Jedi episode for her because we got to see her struggle with her abilities.
Uh-huh.
So I'm glad of like the bit of Ahsoka we have in this episode. She's continuing to grow. She caught on right away that something was not right about this meeting with Almec. Like you can see in her face, she was like, "That sounds shady, Corky." And he's just like, "No, it's not. You're not my mom." And like. So I'm liking that we're getting to see Ahsoka on her own opposed to having, like, Obi-Wan or Anakin there because she's now on her own. She's trying to figure out what to do, and it's nice. It's nice to see in these, like, 2 episodes that we have Ahsoka, even though there's not a lot of her, we get to see her growing. Like, last week it was through her Jedi powers, and this week it's from her leading these kids, and it's nice. And that's all I got for Act 3.
That's Act 2, Hope.
Act 2. I am not with it tonight.
I just got up from a nap before this. I should be the one that's dunderheaded. I'm not to say that you're dunderheaded, Hope. Dunderheaded.
Tonight I am. Tonight I definitely am. I am not, like, on it tonight. Anyway, Act 3?
Act 3. You know, I've never called anybody a dunderhead before. I don't even know where that came from. Dunderhead!
Maybe because we're talking about the German kids on Mandalore.
Maybe, yeah.
So, okay. Act 3. Ahsoka kicks in the door to Almec's office and swaggers up to him. She's like, "Listen here, Top Chef. I found out some of my little shavers in the class are planning a conspiracy against you. Here they are, all tied up with little bows on their pretty little heads just for you." And Almec is like, "This is delightful. Take the children to jail." And at the jailhouse, Ahsoka is like, "The kids said Satine's their leader. We should arrest her, too." And Almec is like, "I already easily got that taken care of. Ha ha ha. Okay, bye." And Ahsoka gives him a "dude, whatever" look. Thanks for the info. And she commands to interrogate the prisoners, and the officers just let Ahsoka in. She carefully speaks with the kids in their jail cell, informing them that Almec has Satine, but they don't know where she is. And Corky's guy friend Dude Buddy whines, and Ahsoka's like, "I'm gonna punch you in your throat if you don't have faith." Ahsoka is all mysterious and says she'll give them some kind of a signal without telling them what the signal is. She mind tricks the guard to take her to Satine, but it's not all tricks because a second guard follows her and hits some kind of signal. They take her to Satine's cell where Ahsoka has to Jedi mind trick the second guard just to free Satine. The moment Satine is freed, the Duchess cries out the greatest line from Admiral Ackbar. "It's a trap!" Like my Ackbar? "It's a trap!" Anyway.
Trap.
"It's a trap!" Almec swaggers in all snooty and high and mighty. He has his rich person. "Oh, ha, 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 I win!" The guards were never mind-tricked, and Ahsoka is all like, "Ooh, I gotta work on my mind-tricking," because Mandalorian guards were trained not to fall for it. And they stun Ahsoka and take her into custody. Almec tries to make Satine sign a confession, and Satine is all like, "You're the one full of corruption! I will never sign that!" And Almec gives some kind of crap speech about how the black market is stores supplies for Mandalore and is actually helping the people. And Zatina's like, dude, you're full of shit. And Almec is like, and you're full of electricity! And he shocks her with a shock collar. Zatine still refuses to sign it. Then Almec pulls the ultimate dick move. He calls for the guards to bring him the kids. With the cadets there, Ahsoka busts out her best ass-kicking skills, and the cadets fight 12 times better with their arms behind their backs than they did earlier in the episode. Ahsoka gets the collar off of Satine and sticks it on Almec. She pulls her own Anakin move and shocks him until he calls out off all the guards. Satine gets her personal guards and takes the bad guys into custody. They stick Almec in the cell Satine had just been in. Zatine admits to Ahsoka that she was not there to teach the kids, but to find the corruption. Ahsoka says that she never doubted the Duchess, and Corky says that they never doubted his aunt either, which is a bullshit lie, because they were pulling a full-fledged teenager mode when they were all like, oh, Zatine won't let us help her, so she's the worst, and we're gonna go cry to Almec, which got her arrested in the first fucking place. Anakin comes the next day to pick up his kid from school, and he pulls up, did you have a good day, sweetie? And Anakin and Ahsoka goes, Daddy Anakin, I got to overthrow a corrupt government official, and I shot the crap out of him with a shock collar. And Anakin is proud of his baby.
Oh, yeah.
The end. I actually love that moment when Anakin's like, how was your day that you overthrew a government? And she's like, I did what you taught me. And he was like, yeah, you did. Like, that's such a nice little moment. Like, he looks so mad for half a second, and he's like, yeah, I would have done it too. I'm so proud of you, Snips. Good job.
Yeah, I just, I like the touch of how they had the continuity from, I think it was the last episode where she used the Jedi mind trick, and it's like, and I thought, oh, she's improved on her Jedi mind trick since then, but nope.
Nope.
It was just a trick. And, man, Mandalore is a mess. Mandalore is just having political problems left and right.
Yeah.
All the time. Their pacifism is not working out for them.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me kind of wonder, like, how long has the team been trying to have a pacifistic country? Because that's obviously not working. And Pre Vizsla, you know, back when the Love Boat of Doom arc was going on, Pre Vizsla was her trusted governor, and he was just like, yes, I love pacifism, but I'm actually secretly part of Death Watch. And it's a long, like, you know, Mandalorians has always been warriors. So I'm getting the feeling that she has not been trying to pull this for a long time. That's my feeling on this matter. So it's not working as well as she wants it to be.
Right, right. And what's up with, and we're going to see this in the coming episode, what's up with space jail, man? Space jail seems like torture. It's like they put you in an elevator car with no bathroom, and that's your space jail.
Yeah.
You're just sort of standing in a lit room. And I mean, really, like, how efficient is that? You're going to have to, people are going to have to use the bathroom several times, so that means if you just have them, like, in their little display case like that, you're going to have to pull them out and take them to space bathroom every once in a while, or clean out their cage, or if you don't clean out their cage, that's pretty nasty.
Maybe, oh my gosh, so it actually was released on Pottermore that J.K. Rowling actually wrote about how wizards went to the bathroom, and there's a spell that they use. It's like, they have a spell that they use, so they don't have to actually, like, go to the bathroom if they want to. It just makes it everything magically disappear from inside you.
Oh.
And so maybe they have something like that, like Jedi space bathrooms.
Maybe.
That actually go away.
Maybe.
No, they don't. Maybe it just takes too long to animate a toilet in there.
I thought you were going to say that they would, like, pee and, like, it would open up just, like, a little hole into another dimension or something. But that's even more efficient. Just, I always wondered why they didn't do that in Star Trek, why they didn't just beam your poop out.
Maybe. Because it'd be fun, because then you can, like, aim toilet, it for tiny... Yeah, you could aim it for, like, tiny planets and try to drop it on things.
Sure, you just, yeah. Beam it on.
I do like the design of Satine's gel cell, though. Like, that's a cool little design.
It is. It's just not, it's neat looking. It's just when you, the more you think about it, it's just not much of a, it doesn't make sense as a jail. But
yeah.
That seems to be, like, how they, in almost all science fiction lately, that seems to be how they like to make space jail. Just sort of like a display case full of action figures. What was the? I'm trying to think of the last. That wasn't there. I'm getting it mixed up with the last Captain America movie. The jail in the Shield jail in Captain America was very similar to Space Jail in a lot of ways.
I guess a galaxy long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, you don't have toilets in Space Jail.
Yeah.
Or food or anything, so.
Or any place to sit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I really got for part three.
So,
my
shallow note is, this goes back to my whole note about how they could have done this with just two kids. Man, Corky needs to have a different male friend. Dude Buddy just does nothing but complain, and then he chickened out, and that's what he did the entire episode. He complained, and then he chickened out and knocked Sonny's laptop off a thing. That's all he did this episode. So, Corky, you need to find another friend and tell Dude Buddy to shut it.
Yeah.
But once again, this episode could have been done with just two kids. Here's a plot flaw that makes the Mandalorians look like dumbasses.
Ooh.
Ready? Their culture seems to be very wary of outsiders, right? Ahsoka couldn't bring in her weapon, and they don't like a lot of other people unless it's like the evil black market people. But the moment that Ahsoka asked to interrogate, no, I just realized it's a trap. I just answered my own damn question. Never mind. I was about to say that, you know, she has to interrogate the kids, and the officers are like, sure, whatever, man. But then I realized it was all a trap that Almec set up. So never mind. I just answered my own question.
Yeah, but it makes Ahsoka look like an idiot for, well, that whole scene, and then the way she talks to the kids, like her body language, and the guards are standing right there. That's not somebody interrogating anybody. She's just going in and giving them a pep talk, and even if you couldn't hear what she was saying. And the first thing she says is, we're being watched and listened to. it's just weird. That whole scene was weird.
Yeah, I just answered my own question. I think I wrote that note before the end of the episode, and I did, because I write my notes as I go. So I was just like, these guards are dumb, and then I forgot to go back and reread my note and be like, no way, it was a trap set up by Almec. But who's smarter then? Because Ahsoka used the trap to her advantage to eventually get them. It was like, she knew eventually the guards would go get Corky and the kids. Like, eventually they would come in and she would have backup, and they were her backup. By the way, those children fought better with their arms tied behind their back than they did earlier in the episode when they did not have their arms tied behind their back.
I think they maybe knew the stakes more at that point, you know? At that point, I imagine there might have been a bit more of adrenaline, and it's like, okay, you either do this or you're going to die pretty soon. So, yeah, they had a lot at stake at that point.
By jumping and flopping on guards, though. They just kind of, like, jumped and flopped on people.
Uh-huh.
That's my new favorite fight move.
It worked.
I was going to say something else, and I didn't write it down. Oh, by the way, Corky's a bullshit liar because he was like, I always believed in you, Auntie. And it was them not believing in Satine that got them all stuck in the situation in the fucking first place.
Uh-huh.
Corky, you big fat fucking liar.
Punks.
It's my, you little punsy kid.
Corky, what do you expect?
That is very true. He is, yeah. Okay, so, serious things. How do you think they handled Almec's reveal of being the bad guy? Because I remember the first time I ever watched this, I wasn't surprised because it's pretty obvious that he's the bad guy from, like, the first time you met him.
Uh-huh.
But I do always have to wonder, do they dumb this down a little bit because it's still a children's show at the end of the day?
I think so. I think they make it so, you know, so it's just a little beyond, like, where a younger child wouldn't figure it out and it would be a big surprise for him. But an older child might actually, like, as it goes on, start putting it together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And be like, oh, I get it, you know? So, yeah, I think they're definitely trying to play that on their, you know, as adults, we're going to catch more of the inconsistencies and, you know, unrealistic aspects of it. But at the same time, as adults, we're more likely to do what we're doing now and just sort of go like, well, you know, partially writing it for the kids, you know.
Yeah.
So I think they're doing a good job at keeping the, you know, working for their whole demographic. But yeah, the focus is definitely more towards the younger end of the, especially with an episode featuring kids that the kids are going to identify with. Hopefully,
yeah.
I don't know. These kids are pretty generic, but I don't know.
You know, I actually give Ezra a hard time a lot. Another really absolutely fantastic podcast called Rebels Chat. Jonna Marie is a very big Ezra fan, and she always defends Ezra. And her mom does a really good job explaining how Ezra is actually a lot just like, they write him just like a normal teenager. And I have to agree with that. Like, they very much write Ezra like a normal teenager, which is probably why he annoys the crap out of me so much.
Well, he's annoying, yes.
He is really annoying. But at the same time, I get that, and I understand that. And so, like, I do kind of gotta give him props, because we have defended Corky and the kids a few times in this episode as well for being kind of dumb, because they're being written like teenagers. And so I think we do need to give them some props for that as well, because they did write them like little tweens. They were teenagers, early teenagers, so they did a good job on that aspect. Doesn't make me not like them. I want to punch them as much as I want to punch the mall rats that I see at work. But I think this is a really good job writing teenagers. So, because they annoy me. Teenagers scare the living shit out of me. They could care less. I'm with someone with Lee. Okay, my last note. Dave Filoni said in the episode feature that this is Ahsoka's first time really taking charge leading the kids. I just slightly disagree, because we've seen her lead clones into battle, so this is not her first time leading. I think what Dave meant was this was the first time Ahsoka was acting like a Jedi in a non-battle situation on a peace mission. And then if that's the case, this is a really good first step, because at this end of the season, we know that Ahsoka will lead a team of other Padawans. This is a really good first trial for her to get that leadership role under her belt a bit before the end of the season. And I would also really venture to say this is the beginning of her being Fulcrum in Rebels.
Oh, okay.
Like, this is her first time. Like think about what kind of character she was in Rebels. Her job, and they kind of went into kind of more details about this in the Ahsoka book when she finally at the end meets Bail Organa. Organa's like, I need a Jedi who can do things that I can't and can sneak around and get information that I can't. And Ahsoka's like, I can do that. So he's like, I just want you to go find the most corrupt, crazy things out there and tell me about it so I can take it to the Senate and try to prove that Palpatine's a terrible person. And Ahsoka's like, I can do that too. And so that's what she does as Fulcrum. Like, she goes and she finds, like, the worst of the worst, reports it to the Rebels, and they do something about it. And that's what she's doing here. Like, she's there to find the corruption on Mandalore, give it to Satine, and Satine gets the bad guy in the end. That's what she does in Rebels. Like, that's what she does here. So I would go and say that this is the very first step of her becoming Fulcrum in Rebels.
I'm buying that.
Yeah. My little baby, she's gonna grow up and be so amazing. Little baby. She's gonna be so cool. So, yeah. I love Ahsoka. All right, so that's all I had for Act 1, or Act 3. That's all I had for the episode. Oh, just tell me what you thought of the episode, Chris, because apparently I don't know how to think tonight.
I liked it. It's not going to the top of my list. It was just a good, solid episode. I'm giving it a solid 7.5. Enjoyable. Nothing really hugely stand out, you know. It's definitely an improvement as far as the political episodes go, you know.
Yes.
It's got a little more intrigue and action to it. So I definitely feel that they're starting to pick up a little speed now. So 7.5.
Yeah.
I proclaim.
He has spoken. Says the Honeywell.
Should none ever question it.
The well of honey has spoken from his sweet lips. I just imagine you just, like, spewing honey on top of someone.
Like a mama bird. The origin of the Honeywell name is that they trace it back. It was, like, in England, Ireland area, and it was a family that had extremely delicious well water that the people in the village were really excited about their well water.
Really? I assume like they were like beekeepers or something, and they had just like wells of honey in barrels.
No, it was, they had a spring in their land that had really good fresh water coming out of it.
Oh, cool. So, okay, well, what I thought about the episode then. I don't know shit about my last name. I looked it up. I don't even have a coat of arms in Ireland. So the Mullinaxes apparently suck.
You were a family that used to mull wine.
Nah, our name is a takeoff of Mullins.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so the Mullinaxes don't actually have, like a thing in Ireland, even though my dad's family's from Ireland. All right, so last week was a good episode that stood on its own 2 feet as a complete episode, even though it was a two-parter with this week's episode. You didn't need this episode to tell the story last week. And this one is a complete episode as well. I don't think it was quite as good because you still needed just a little bit of the context from last week to help it. But that being said, I do love seeing Ahsoka back, and she's being smart, and she's acting on her own, and she's also showing very early bits of what makes her Fulcrum in Rebels. It's not a huge surprise that Almec is the bad guy because he's very obvious for the last few episodes. And that writing could have been a bit tighter, but it's still a kid's show, so I'm okay with letting it go a lot. And I'm on the fence about Satine being sidelined for the majority of the episode for the cadet story, because the cadets are pretty annoying and pretty dumb. And they completely sidelined Satine for these kids, and I still don't know how I feel about that. I almost would rather have a Satine Ahsoka story, just the two of them, like we had Padme and Ahsoka last week. And then Ahsoka the whole time could have been like, tell me everything about Obi-Wan. That would have been great. Ahsoka is very much the strongest part of this episode for me, so I'm going to give it the same rating as I did last week. I gave it a 7.5 out of 10. Yay!
Ooh, we're right on the money this week.
I know, we're pretty darn close. I think the kids annoyed me a little bit more than they annoyed you.
They didn't really annoy me, they were just kind of generic to me, you know? I didn't have a feel for their character to where I was like, well, I'd like to see Corky come back. You know, he was an interesting guy.
It's not like when we went to the tech kid in season one that you
right.
liked.
Where he was a little was, like, goofy looking, but he was an interesting character, you know? He had a little...
He was building all these robots that Anakin was like, you built these? Cool!
Yeah, he had a more individualized personality, too, so yeah.
I wonder if that's the difference, because, I mean, Ahsoka was there because she was doing her job, which is why she was being interested in the kids, but Anakin... With Jabo, that was his name, Jabo. Anakin, like, took a very honest interest in Jabo, which made us take an interest in Jabo.
Well, Jabo is also a lot like Anakin in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah.
He's on his own and mechanically oriented and type A personality.
Ah, Dave Filoni, bring back Jabo. Now in Rebels.
Ooh. Jabo in Rebels could be, you know, a very interesting character, you know, after 20 years of development.
Oh, man. What if he was the guy in the Star Wars Holiday Special that was played by Art? That's Jabo.
Ooh, it could be.
Building things and giving Mala and building sex machines for Chewbacca's dad.
Yeah, could be.
So, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. We definitely like when you do it on iTunes, because when you rate or review the show, it helps more people find the show, because it moves us up in the iTunes thingy thingy-thingy-doodle kebobber. So we definitely would like that. This week's feedback is from our Facebook page, from Aaron and Jean, from our episode covering ARC Troopers. Gene asked us a question. I'm going to let you handle that question because I haven't seen the micro series in a bajillion years and I barely remember it. So I'm going to let you answer that one, Chris.
Okay, so what are your opinions on the ARC Troopers from the micro series and that the design comes from Hasbro? I like the design of the micro series. It's a little more, a little more like Samurai, you know, it's got the same style as Samurai Jack, since it's the same guy.
Which they just dropped a trailer for.
And I think, if I remember right, it's been a while since I saw the micro series, but I think the ARC Troopers had a lot more orange on their armor, and that was the big difference. And I always chalk up, like, the difference in shape and angularity and stuff as I chalk it up to a stylistic difference between, like you were saying about Cad Bane in the Darth Maul comic. He looks more human because they're drawing him, you know, as the quote unquote more real version of Cad Bane than the stylized version you would see in Clone Wars. So yeah, I like them. You want me to read Aaron's too?
Sure, I've done a lot of reading.
I know. You got more coming up. So I'm all over it. Okay, so Aaron says, another great episode, guys. Yeah, we know. clone babies. Oh, my God. That's horrifying. I never thought about the babies. Their cute little smiles. Pudgy cheeks. Little black curls on their heads. Ah! More great development with Fives and Echoes. Two of the most BA clones and the 501st next to Rex. What's BA? That's sort of badass. Okay. Pour out a shot for our great 99. Rest in peace, my little Quasimodo. Quasimo clone. Clonesimodo. Hope. My first introduction to comics was Sonic the Hedgehog series. Wow. Since I was playing the games, I wasn't able to follow the storylines too closely, but I think I'm collecting the Knuckles series as it sounds pretty epic.
It is. The Knuckles miniseries, it ran for like a little under 20 issues. It was really damn good, so I highly suggest it.
Great episode, great J guys, and now I have to go cry for all the cute little clone babies. My babies! Wait, what?
They're my babies.
Also, I have to try to get 99 Luftballons out of my head. Good luck.
I'll cut you. They're my babies. I'll cut you. They're mine. They're my babies. My clone babies.
You guys are fighting over whose genetics a cloned army is made out of. And they look like neither of you.
Okay. Well, now it's for my least favorite segment of this series.
What, you don't have a Butterfinger or anything this time?
I do have a Butterfinger this time.
Oh. This time, since we're I've picked two of the tinier ones, which usually means they're teeny tiny. They're like, they would be like you would get a Halloween package, this, you know, a Halloween size, fun size.
Chris.
Yes?
Before you bite into it, please explain in case we have a first-time listener.
Okay, I haven't even opened it yet. But I've got my Kit Kat from, this one's from China, from our listener friend Dario Gonzalez, who heard me griping about the poor quality of American Kit Kats. Now I have Kit Kats from around the world that I'm sampling during the end of J Guys and Jedi. So today is raspberry from China.
And I'm just jealous, so every Tuesday night, I buy some kind of candy at the store, and then I come home and I eat it while he's eating it.
This is the first podcast for Hope and I where we're going to actually gain weight because of a podcast. Okay, so it's... Okay.
You're gonna gain weight from eating and beat it.
Now, oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah, but I'm going to work that weight off. So, ba-da-bum. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-bum. And... I'm trying to figure out what that song is. I've been trying to find, like, I'm going to actually get one of my musical instruments and play ba-da-ba-ba-da-bop so we have musical accompaniment when we do the Gene song. All right, so anyway, I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic. This is weird. These Kit Kats are raspberry. They're flesh-colored.
Oh!
It looks like a little Kit Kat made of flesh. It looks like this soap that we have that my roommate got, this homemade soap that was sort of had a fleshy color to it.
Where are they from?
They're from China. And it's got little dots, like it's deep red dots, so which make it look like skin. You know how you have the little like freckle dots on your skin? Okay.
That sounds so unappealing. Why are you
eating it? It smells really good. It smells very raspberry. It's very strongly of raspberry. Okay.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Okay. The fleshy chocolate is like white chocolate, but there's like little raspberry sprinkles in them that are really strong, like tart flavor. So it's really sweet, and then you get these pockets of super tart raspberry flavor. It's good. And then there's like raspberry creamy, you know, in between the wafers on it. They're good. But...
Huh.
They look like skin. They're skin color. They're like lighter than my, you know, holding it in my fingers. It's lighter than my fingers.
Oh. Huh. I'm glad that it's that. Okay, I'm glad it's good because you made it sound really unappealing.
It's delicious. It does not look appealing. It looks flesh colored. You know, it looks like the color of the Oscar Mayer like ham loaf that they sell at the deli.
Mm-hmm.
But it's delicious. It's super sweet, but at the same time, it has little bursts of sour. And I love sour. So thumbs up. I don't think we're going to get a thumbs down. And, oh yes, here's some more good news. Dario told me he's got some more Kit Kats from other countries, and he's got some wild flavors. He says he doesn't even know what some of them are.
Oh, awesome! Okay, I gotta get on this, Dario. Please remind me, Dario, to send you my address, because I keep forgetting to, and then, like, every time I think about it, I'm, like, driving, and I'm just like, damn it, I'm driving down the highway!
You only think about it when you're hungry.
Yeah, like, I'm always, like, driving when I remember that I need to email Dario my address. I always forget. So, Gene, you remember everything. Give Dario my address. You sent me a bear. I know you have my address. Just give Dario my address, somebody.
Gene's your secretary. Gene, get in here and take this down.
Gene, get in here and do a dance. Dun, 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 dun. Gene, all right, go do your work now. No, I just need to remember to send Dario my address. I keep forgetting to. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at tutufreaks.com, where there's a million... You know, it's weird. Just the way I said tutufreaks.com made me feel like Todd Grady, who introduces all our shows. And now... but I'm not Todd Grady.
Hey, guys, it's Jedi!
Tutufreaks.com, our massive, massive podcast network. I just got a teenager at work to give the name of our podcast to her older brother. She was watching me. I bought a bunch of Star Wars and Star Trek stuff from some coworkers who got it from an estate of somebody, you know, they knew, and she saw me with it. And I got all this Star. I bought $120 worth of Star Wars stuff just to get a tiny little pin that's George Lucas as the Grand Marshal of the Rose Bowl Parade in 2007. And I was just like, I gotta have it. I gotta have a pin that's like George Lucas. It's a photo of him, you know, Grand Marshal of the... So, I'm explaining all that, and this girl's like, are you a nerd? And I'm like, you have no idea. And she's like, because you talk about nerds. I'm like, yeah, you have no idea how much I talk about nerd stuff. And then she's like, and so I told her about the podcast, and she's like, my brother listens to podcasts, and he likes Star Trek and Star Wars. And I said, well, let me write something down for your brother.
Aww.
So hopefully he's listening right now.
Well, hi, your coworker's brother. Hello.
Hi, coworker's brother. Yeah, we're filled with and we just, I guess I like to mention one of our podcasts. I got to just mention the triumphant finally return of Who True Freaks.
I saw that. I wasn't on the episode because I'm like 4 episodes behind in Doctor Who, so I still haven't seen the Christmas special yet. But I know, I'm so proud of you guys.
I'm so happy. Dave Walker made that happen, and I really want to thank Dave Walker for that. One funny thing, when Dave Walker also made the Photoshop for it, tell you, it looks exactly like the rest of the Photoshops for Who Two Freaks that I made. He like, it's great. House style, it's perfect. But the funny thing is, he put his face on, I don't know the name of whoever the female companion is in that Christmas episode, but his face on her body made Facebook think that was you and tagged you in the post when I posted it up. When the picture got posted up, it like was like with Hope Mullinex, and I'm like, Hope Mullinex wasn't on that podcast, and I'm like, oh my god, it got her off Dave Walker's face. So Dave Walker's face plus Doctor Who's companion equals Hope Mullinex to Facebook for some reason.
Maybe Dave and I are like fifth cousins, like 4 times removed or something.
Or separated at birth or something.
Yeah, I think I'm younger than Dave.
Well, maybe it has something to do with when you eventually get the time machine, so.
Maybe. Or just my brother from another mother.
Right.
Brother from another mother, Walker.
Ask your mother if she's ever been to Europe.
She has, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, but she went to Russia.
Ooh.
Yeah, her and my dad took a trip to Russia.
I've always wanted to go to Russia and Japan for some reason.
Wanted to go to, well, not Russia, but Japan.
Japan may be a radioactive dump by the time I get over there. So.
And I want to go to Japan, and I want to go to England, and those are the two places I've been wanting to go to since I was a small child. And I would want to spend at least a month in Japan, because you need at least 2 weeks for Tokyo. And then I want to go to Kyoto and Shinjuku and Osaka and eat all the food.
I've had a few friends who've spent some time over at Japan, and it sounds really, really neat and interesting.
Yeah. Ugh. And Anyway, you can find me at the Jigga and Jedi Twitter page. That's what I run. And you can also find me at Hope Molinax. And I'm also the news writer for whatthefangirl.com. So just give a shout out and go take a look at what I do over there. So, yeah, that's all I have for this episode.
All right, we'll be back in another week, or for us, another two or 3 minutes.
So we'll see you next week, and thank God where there's no more corruption.
Oh, the corruption is finally over.
Oh my God, corruption. It corrupted my brain. Ugh. All right, see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.